The following broadcast is brought to you by the friends and partners of Revival Ministries International.
I want you to take your Bibles and go with me to the book of Matthew, Matthew 24. Let's pray. Father, let every ear be anointed to hear your word today, and let every heart be receptive, receive all that heaven has. And I thank you for it even now, in Jesus' name. Amen. You can pull that music back for me while I preach. Please just take it back. Thank you. Thank you, Becky. All right, from Matthew's Gospel, and I'm going to read from verse 3. As he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately, saying, Tell us, when shall these things be, and what shall be the sign of that coming, and the end of the world? And Jesus answered and said unto them, Take heed that no man deceive you. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am the Christ, and shall deceive many. And you hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you are not troubled, he tells you today. For all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines and pestilence and earthquakes in divers places, which you hear of all of that taking place. And all these are the beginning of sorrows. Then they shall deliver you up to be afflicted and shall kill you, which that's happening in certain places right now. Not yet in America, but if the thing goes any further, there's no telling what's going to happen. You shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake, which we've experienced a bit of that, and that's fine. Then many shall be offended, which that's taking place right now, and shall betray one another, which that's happening right now, and shall hate one another, which that's happening right now. I mean, there's families in division, people screaming at each other and carrying on like a neon sign. And many false prophets shall arise and shall deceive many, and because of iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. But he that endures to the end shall be saved. So there's an endurance that God puts on the inside of every one of his believers. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then the end shall come. Now, he says here, when ye therefore shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel, the prophet stand in the holy place, whoso readeth, let him understand. And of course, it's talking about the coming of the Antichrist, which I tell you, we are seeing that system trying to be implemented as we speak. But the Antichrist is not just a system, it's an actual person that will come on the scene. And I actually thought about it last year because everybody's talking about peace and safety in the Bible. I said to my wife, I said, boy, when they say peace and safety, there'll come sudden destruction. And that's what the enemy's trying to do right now. It said, then let them which be in Judea flee under the mountains. Let him which is on the housetop not come down to take anything out of the house. Neither let him which is in the field return to take his clothes. And woe unto them which are with child, and to them that give suck in those days. But pray ye that your flight be not in the winter, neither on the Sabbath day. For then shall be the great tribulation, which you can see everything's heading towards that right now, which was not since the beginning of the world to this time, no, nor ever shall be. So I believe we're right on the brink of that. You know, of course, I believe in the end times, the catching away of the church, and I've always preached the pre-tribulation rapture of the church, which I feel that that's what the Lord will do. I believe we are in, as I read verse 8, all these are the beginning of sorrows. I think that's where we are. And, of course, people betraying one another. And then verse 14, the gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world. However, we have set ourselves, we have our faces set, we have resolved that whatever it takes. If we're ready to die for what we believe, that's fine. We've counted the cost. We've laid everything on the altar, and it matters not. It matters not. Verse 22 says, except those days should be shortened, there shall no flesh be saved. For the elect's sake, those days shall be shortened. Then if any man say unto you, lo, here's the Christ, or there, believe it not. For there shall arise false Christs, false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, inasmuch, if it were possible, they'll deceive the very elect. That's why you better have a foundation on the Word of God and not be led by some personality or an individual that has great charisma or somebody that has a display of what is called signs and wonders. And I'm not talking about signs and wonders that are in the Scripture, because the Bible tells us we shall lay hands on the sick, they shall recover. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about people come and they claim all these miraculous things that they can do. He said, behold, I've told you before. Wherefore, if they shall say unto you, behold, he's in the desert, go not forth. Behold, he's in the secret chambers, believe it not. Now look at this. For as the lightning cometh out of the east and shining out of even to the west, so shall be at the coming of the Son of Man. And whosoever or wheresoever the carcass is, the eagles will be gathered together. Immediately after the tribulation of those days will the sun be darkened, and the moon shall not give a light, and the stars shall fall from the heavens, and the powers of the heavens shall be shaken. And then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in the heavens, and then all the tribes of the earth shall mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in clouds of heaven with power and great glory. And he shall send his angel with great sound of the trumpet, and they shall gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of the heaven and the other. Now, I'll just tell you this right now, because this is important that you even understand this right now. You know, when he comes for his church, he's coming for a purified bride. He's coming for a lamb that remember, that purified, cleansed, without spot or wrinkle, garments not stained. And I feel that's what the Lord's doing right now. This is a sifting taking place between what is holy, what is profane, what is the flesh, what is of the spirit, what is true or fake. At the end of this, if we do come through this, as I believe the Lord will bring us through this, then we'll have a moment to proclaim the gospel. But everything that is of the flesh will be removed. Everything of the flesh. Because interesting that today, of course, historically is celebrated, you know, Palm Sunday, where they were waving palm trees and they were shouting, Hosanna, is he that comes. But when he went to the cross, none of those people were there. None of those people were there. Everybody left him. So everybody shouted Hosanna, and they put palm branches down, and they celebrated him. But boy, when he went to Calvary, he was by himself. So he goes on, said, now learn the parable of the fig tree. When its branches yet tender and young, putteth forth leaves, you know that the summer is nigh. So likewise, when you shall see all these things, you know that it's near, even at the doors. Verily I say unto you, this generation shall not pass till all these things be fulfilled. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my word will not pass away. Now, but of that day and hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. Now watch this now, very important. As in the days of Noah, so shall be the coming of the Son of Man. For as it was in the days before the flood, they were eating, they were drinking, marrying, giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered the ark. But they knew not until the flood came and took them all away. So shall be the coming of the Son of Man. And then two shall be in the field, one shall be taken, the other left. Two women will be grinding at the mill, one shall be taken, the other left. Watch therefore, for you know not what hour your Lord doth come. But know this, if the good men of the house had known in what watch the thief would have come, he would have watched and not have suffered his house to be broken up. Therefore be ye also ready, for in such an hour as you think not, the Son of Man cometh. Who then is faithful and wise servant, whom the Lord hath made ruler over his house, to give them meat in his season? Blessed is that servant when he comes and find him so doing. Verily I say unto you, that he will make him ruler over all his goods. But if that evil servant shall say in his heart, my Lord delayeth his coming, which is very indicative of the modern church. People say, well, he's not coming anymore. I got news for you. Jesus is coming very soon. Now, according to Scripture and eschatology, as I preach and believe it, I believe the first thing that will take will be the catching away of the church. And again, pre, mid, post, it doesn't matter. The bottom line, that's for the marriage supper of the Lamb, and that's for when the Bema will take place, which is called the judgment seat of Christ, where every man's work will be laid on the altar, and the fire of God will come and consume it. It'll be gold, jewels, and precious stones, which will be eternal treasure to carry into heaven, or it'll be wood, hay, and stubble. And then it's going to be the Lord coming at what is called the Battle of Armageddon. And this time he's coming with a sword. Everybody thinks Jesus is just walking around barefoot with the Lamb under his arm. I got news for you. He's coming back. He has eyes as flames of fire. Read about it in the book of Revelation. And he's coming back, and the saints of God will come on him, come with him, and the armies will be defeated. The blood will flow up to the bridles of the horses, according to the scripture. I can remember standing at Megiddo in 2008, on the third day of November 2008, and I heard the Lord say, we rush to Armageddon. We race to Armageddon. We race. We are racing to Armageddon. It's all coming together. It is all coming together, ladies and gentlemen. There is not much time left. The final grains of sand are going through the hourglass. I'm not just preaching this now. I preached this for years. Any River member, you've heard me tell you this before. I've told you it over and over and over again. I told you the church in America is not ready for what's coming. The lukewarm church, the flame will be snuffed out in a moment. If people throw the towel in for a virus, people look at Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and Daniel. Listen. It wasn't, they didn't violate one thing and that got them into the fiery furnace or into the lion's den. They wouldn't eat the king's meat. It starts with a little test first. This is a test whether you realize it or not. If you're willing to stop preaching the gospel because of some kind of a virus, I'm not even saying that there isn't a virus. But with 60,000 people dead worldwide, out of 7.5 billion people, the earth is shut down and brought to a halt. Are you kidding me? Because the thing on the back of this will be forced vaccines. So you don't want to stand now to keep your church open. What are you going to do when you're pulled over and you're corralled and your family and they force vaccines on you? What are you going to do then? What are you going to do when they take your children from you and say you'll never see your children again? What are you going to do then? What are you going to do? So the evil servant shall say in his heart, my Lord delayeth his coming, and will begin to smite his fellow servant, which that's happening now. Churches are turning each other in. I mean, you can see it online on the thing. Other Christians are, well, they shouldn't be meeting right now. They should know that I'm sure there's not 6 foot apart. Well, the services that you saw tonight, I mean today, are not 6 foot apart. They're from the archives. But the one last Sunday was. So people are reporting other people, family members. Come on, get real. The Lord of that servant shall come in that day when he looketh not for him, and in an hour that he's not aware of, and will cut him asunder and appoint him his portion with the hypocrites, and there'll be a weeping and gnashing of teeth. A weeping and gnashing of teeth. So, folks, I got news for you. This is the final hour. The sun is fast setting on the horizon of time. And this is it. We're not going to get, I know everybody's saying America's going to get back to normal. It's going to be, No. The normal is not going to be like you think, because they're ruining everything. They talk about extending the shutdowns. India just went on a total lockdown right now. South Africa is on a total lockdown where there's going to be an uprising. I can tell you right now, there are many informal settlements across my country where people live hand to mouth. They're not going to tolerate it. And there's people in America, they're going to keep pushing, and the American people are going to say no. So you can only buy this crap that you see on television for so long. Already, people that we're not questioning are questioning everything right now. And all the pastors, that go on your online streams, and you even more, even leading up to it, you just preach a message that's like airy fairy. You're not telling the people what's really going on. You're not preparing your people for what's taking place. Fortunately, our church has been prepared for years. I said that this week on the broadcast, that we actually did a conference in the early 2000s on martyrdom. 8 days, 2 meetings a day on martyrdom. I could not even advertise that. Nobody would come. Who wants to go to a conference on martyrdom? So we do conferences. We don't charge for that. We don't have a mailing list. We have an email that goes out once a week. People give because they want to give. Nobody in our school is charged. We scholarship everybody. So everything we do is different. We're on TV around the world. We don't pay a dollar. So everything's different. Our ministry was made for this hour. Made for this moment. Now let's go to chapter 25. I don't know, some people say, well, you read too much scripture. That's fine. Change the channel. Go somewhere else. I'll do whatever I want to. I can read whole chapters if I want to. I didn't have to listen to anybody. I love the word. This is the word. I'm not making this stuff up. Okay, Matthew 25. Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened to the 10 virgins which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were wise and 5 of them were foolish. They that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. Now, while the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight there was a cry made, behold, the bridegroom cometh, go out to meet him. Then all the virgins arose, trimmed their lamps. But the foolish said to the wise, give us of your oil, for our lamps have gone out. But the wise answered, saying, not so, let there be not enough for us and you. But you go rather to them that sell and buy for yourselves. But and went in to buy, the bridegroom came, and they that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. Afterwards came also the other virgins, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. And he said, verily I say unto you, I know you not. Which, in if you look that literally, he said, I'm not acquainted with you. I don't know you. I don't know you. I don't have an intimate personal relationship with you. Watch therefore, for you know neither the day or hour wherein the Son of Man cometh. So, the thing about this, they were all virgins. They all had lamps. They all had oil. The lamps were all burning. They all had vessels with their lamps. But the 5 wise had enough oil to make it to the night hour. The 5 foolish did not have enough oil. And there are many people today that are finding out, I don't have enough oil. I don't have enough oil because they took the Holy Spirit and threw him out. They put the Holy Spirit on a back burner. Threw him out. The Holy Spirit is not a dove. It's like a dove. The Holy Spirit is a person. He's the third person of the Godhead. And he wants to take control of your life. And you have to surrender your life to him. The Holy Spirit is not tongues. He's a person. He's your comforter, your helper, your teacher, your guide, your strengthener, your intercessor, your standby. And he's with you, and he wants to come and live in you, and he wants to take full control of your life. And if you are led by him, you will be saved. You do exactly what he tells you to do. So he said, watch therefore, for you know neither the day or the hour the Son of Man cometh. And I know, I mean, here's even the danger of even us coming through this thing. On the other side, you know, the president pulls a rabbit out of the bag and brings about some solution or whatever, which, you know, I just watch all the stuff and shake my head. I already know. I know the playbook. I've already read the playbook, so I know where it's going. So what it'll do is just delay the stuff 3 or 5 or 7 years. But the bottom line is this is coming. It's coming like a freight train, and the church has to get ready. And you've got to stand now. If you don't stand now, you will not stand later. You will capitulate. You will take the mark of the beast. You will sell your brother and sister down the creek. You will betray your brother. And you ultimately will turn your back on Jesus. Because unfortunately, in America, people have preached a comfortable Christianity. that didn't cost you anything. But serving Jesus cost you everything. Everything. And today, you can lay your life on the altar. You think Jesus didn't know what was happening when he was going into Jerusalem on that day when they were throwing palm branches down and waving them in the air and putting their coats in the way as he was coming in, riding on that donkey that day? You think Jesus didn't know? He knew. He knew exactly what was taking place. He knew that all of these people that were shouting, Hosanna, wouldn't even be there. They wouldn't be there. They would be offended. They would disappear. It's one thing to go to church, stand in a crowd, make a lot of noise, shout amen. It's another thing when the rubber meets the road. And I thought about that even this week when I got arrested, which I know some people think it was a stupid thing to get arrested for, which I don't. I swore to defend the Constitution, so I stood up for the Constitution of the United States. I wasn't standing up because of some virus. We've lived through how many viruses? We've lived through how many viruses? Nobody shut anything down for those. I traveled the world 40 years. I've lived through a lot of viruses. I've laid hands on hundreds and hundreds of thousands of people in the midst of every kind of virus known to man. You travel across Africa, there's all these viruses are there. Never got sick. God protected me. And people got healed. Why am I going to stop now? Seriously? Because I'm afraid for my life? Come on. For the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling to a far country who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. And unto one of them he gave 5 talents, to another 2, to another 1, and to every one according to their several ability, and straightway took his journey, which that's what you have to understand. Every one of you watching me right now will give an account of your life, of what you've done with your time, your talents, your treasure, and your tongue. There's people watching me right now. Your whole business was really about you. Your whole business was really ultimately about you. Oh, yeah, you said it was about the gospel, but it really wasn't. It really wasn't. It was really about you. There's people watching me right now. Your whole ministry, your whole church was not about souls, was not about the harvest. Everything we do has to be about souls and about the harvest. I don't care what office of the fivefold ministry you call yourself. If it does not result in souls, it is futility. Somebody said, well, we're called to make disciples. You cannot make disciples when you haven't won souls. We have to bring in the harvest. This is the time of the harvest. God wants to use everybody to bring in the harvest. The only thing we can take with us when we leave this earth is people. He that received 5 talents went and traded with the same and made other 5 talents. And likewise, he that received 2, he also gained another 2. And he received 1, went and digged in the earth and hid his Lord's money. I mean, it would be so easy. In the natural, if you were not responsible, and we are responsible for thousands and thousands of people, not just in Tampa, but worldwide. It'd be so easy. Oh, I'll just take Adonica. We'll go to some remote island and just live there and where there's no cell coverage, where nothing, and we will just wait and let the thing blow over. We don't run from anything. We never have run from anything, and we're not running from anything now. And if it's the end, then so be it. We're willing to die for the cause of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And you might not think that this is about the gospel, but let me tell you, this is an insidious plan to shut the church of Jesus Christ down. But I've got news for you and all those that are watching. You cannot stop the church. It is impossible to stop the church. The church triumphant shall stand, and he's coming back for a glorious church, and we will see another great spiritual awakening that shall sweep across America, that shall sweep across the nations of the earth, and every country shall be shaken, but the kingdom of heaven will come out stronger than before. You can try to shut it up. You can try to squash the church. You can try to take away Bibles. You can try to remove everybody from meeting, but you will not stop the body of Christ. The church triumphant shall stand. So he received, dug in the earth, took his Lord's money and hid it. After a long time, the Lord of the servants came and reckoneth with him. What does that mean? That means God's coming. God's going to come and want to find out what you've done with what he gave you. What did you do with what was entrusted to you? Well, Lord, I waved one of the palms. I took that palm. I cut it down so carefully, and I waved that palm. I shouted, didn't you hear me shouting, Hosanna? Hosanna? I took my coat off, that new coat I bought. Lord, I put it down. And, I mean, there was some mud where the donkeys walked, and my coat really got ruined, but I threw that down. Didn't you see my coat that I put down? I made a noise. I shouted, Hosanna, is he who comes in the name of the Lord. And I waved the palm, Lord. So he that received 5 talents came and brought another 5 talents, saying, Lord, thou delivered unto me 5 talents. Behold, I've gained 5 besides. And the Lord said, well done, thou good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over the few. I'll make you ruler over many things, because the Bible says we're going to rule and reign with Christ. According to Scripture, there's going to be 1,000 years of peace where Jesus will set up his kingdom here on the earth, and we're going to rule and reign with him. Some say, well, I don't really believe that. I don't care what you believe. I'm not here to argue doctrine with you here today. I know what the Scripture says, and I was raised. This is what I preach. So everything here is a precursor to the life to come. There are rewards that's going to be given. And I want everybody watching me, I want every River member, I want everybody to get a reward. I want you to get the crowns that are available to you, which I don't have time to get into that here today. I've taught this all for years. And the Lord said, well done, the good and faithful servant. You've been faithful of the few things. I'll make you rule over many things. Enter into the joy of the Lord. If you don't like the joy down here on earth, I don't know what you're going to do when you get to heaven. It's going to be a real noisy place. He also had received 2 talents, came and said, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 2 talents. Behold, I've gained 2 other talents besides. So what are we supposed to do? We're supposed to take what God has given us and multiply it for eternity. For eternity. And the Lord said, well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I'll make you ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. Heaven is a place of great rejoicing. People are dancing. People are singing. They're shouting. It's not a place of quietness and just stillness. Yeah, I mean, because the Bible says all heaven rejoices over one sinner that comes to repentance. People are being saved every second, right now. That means the whole of heaven's rejoicing. Heaven's a place of rejoicing. Somebody say, well, I don't like too much noise. Well, then I don't know what you're going to do, because the other option is not that good, where there's a weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth, and the flame is not quenched, and the worm eats into people's flesh for eternity. Hell is a real place, folks. And unfortunately, people have taught about purgatory, and so some unfortunate people are burning in hell right now, thinking that they're paying for their sins, and they don't realize Jesus paid for them, and they're not ever going to get out. They will never get out. They will burn forever and ever and ever. Hell was not made for God's people. It was made for the devil and his angels. However, when people are wicked and they turn their back on God and they won't repent of their sin, there is no other option but hell and eternal damnation. And somebody say, well, I don't understand how God would love people so much. God loved people so much that he sent Jesus to the cross to die on the cross of Calvary for you. John 3 and verse 16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And God did not send his Son to the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He has paid the price. Somebody said, what do I have to do to get it? You have to repent. Repent, cry out to God. Repent of your sin. Say, God, please forgive me. Forgive me. And come. Wash me in your blood, and he will come, and he will forgive you, and he will wash you, because he loves you. But the time is now, not when you die. St. Peter's not going to be meeting anybody at the gate and asking you to spell Massachusetts. St. Peter will not be meeting at the gate and said, spell Connecticut. Sorry. That's not how this works. Peter's not even a gatekeeper. There's only one gate. Jesus. There's only one door. Jesus. And there's only one way in. Repentance. Repentance is not sorry you got caught. Repentance is a broken heart to where you realize, I can't save myself. I need to be washed clean. And I'm coming to the blood of Jesus today and asking him to wash me clean. And I make a decision today. I'm going to turn my back on the world and on sin. I don't want to be lost. I don't want to spend eternity without God. I don't want to go to a devil's hell. But I must serve Jesus. God's coming to ask you, what have you done with what he's given you? And our excuse is not going to be, well, Lord, my wife, my father, my mother-in-law, Lord, she moved in the house and then everything went wrong. Lord, that church I went to, I don't like that pastor's hairstyle. Lord, they sang too long. Lord, they clapped too loud. Because you know. Because God's there with you and he's speaking to you. He's talking to you right now. Then he, which had received the one talent, came and said, Lord, I knew that you are a hard man, reaping where you have not sown and gathering where you have not strawed. And I was afraid. And I went and hid my talent in the earth. Yehovah, this is what's yours. And the Lord said to him, you wicked and slothful servant, you knew that I reap where I sowed not and gather where I have not strawed. You ought to, therefore, have put my money to the exchanges, and at my coming I would have received my own with interest. Therefore, take the talent from him and give it to him that has 10 talents. So that tells you God's not a socialist right there. Not redistribution from people that have to those that have not. It's about faithfulness. It's about being faithful. If you're faithful with a little, you'll be made ruler over much. For unto everyone that hath shall be given, and he shall have abundance. But from him that hath not shall be taken even that which he hath. And cost the unprofitable servant into outer darkness, and there'll be a weeping and gnashing of teeth. And then he says here, when the Son of Man shall come in his glory, and all the holy angels with him, then he will sit upon the throne of glory, and before him shall be gathered all nations. Everyone, every single person that has ever lived will stand before him on that day at what is called the great white throne judgment. Everyone will stand before him. You don't want to be at the great white throne. You want to be at the judgment seat of Christ. I want to encourage every believer, get right with God now while you can. But for the sinners, every one of them, I don't care. Bill Gates will stand there. You name them. The richest people that have ever lived. The Queen of England will stand there. Everyone will stand at the great white throne judgment. If they are not born again and they have not come to the cross and they have not asked Jesus to forgive them and humble themselves, they will stand before God at the great white throne judgment. And he said, you shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divided his sheep from the goats. And he shall set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on the left. Very interesting that there's a right hand, the right side, and the left side, the left. People say, how do you lean? They lean left. Okay, well, then you must be a goat. Okay, I don't want to get into politics of it, but I think it's very interesting that the goats always lean left. Then shall come the king and say on his right hand, come ye, blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungered, and ye gave me meat. I was thirsty, ye gave me drink. I was a stranger, ye took me up. Naked, and ye clothed me. I was sick, and ye visited me, and when I was in prison, and came unto me. which, you know, I was in prison for about a half an hour, but no one came to visit me. That's just a little joke. Then shall the righteous answer and say, Lord, when we saw thee and hungered and fed thee, or thirsty and gave you drink, when saw we a stranger and took you in naked and clothed you? Or when did we see you sick or in prison come and unto you? And the king answered and said, and verily I say to you, inasmuch as you've done it to these, the least of these, my brethren, you've done it to me. Well, let me tell you, the church has been stopped from doing this. We're not even allowed in many instances, if they have their way, to even help those that are homeless and helpless and hurting, because everybody's afraid they're going to die of some stinking virus. When missionaries have gone to the far-flung corners of the world for years and given their life in the slums of cities, in amongst the derelict, lepers. People have gone and preached to cannibals. People have gone and risked their lives in remote villages of the Amazon and remote villages of Papua New Guinea. And they loved not their lives, even unto death. Many people would died and was killed, and they died on the field for Jesus. And here we're in America, and people can't even live for him, let alone die. Then shall you say also unto them on the left hand, depart ye from me, you cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. So he even announces what it was for. Prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungered, and you gave me no meat. I was thirsty, and gave me nothing to drink. Today is the first time in decades that the trucks coming in, the buses from across the inner city of Tampa, sometimes 14, 15, 16, sometimes 28 buses, 30 buses, the first time that the buses have not rolled up onto our parking lot to bring people from across the city. He said, I was a stranger and you took me not in. Naked and you clothed me not. Sick and in prison and you visited me not. Well, the prisons are shut. You can't visit anybody right now. You can't even really go into hospitals and visit people. Then shall they also answer, saying, Lord, when saw we you hungered and athirst or naked, or a stranger, or sick, or in prison, and didn't minister you? And he said, verily I say unto you, inasmuch as you did not to one of these the least, you did not unto me. And they will go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into life eternal. This is about eternity. This is not about the future of your house, your investments, your property, and your reputation, and your 401k, and your net worth, your value, and all. It's got nothing to do with this. This is about eternity. The very fact that Jesus could come today, the trump could sound today. Are you ready? Are you ready to see Jesus? Are you ready? Are you ready? Today he calls you. Will you surrender? Will you say, Jesus, come and be my Lord and Savior? This is not the time to be lukewarm. This is the time to be radical. This is the time to be on fire for God. This is the time. We're not calling for an uprising with the armaments of the flesh. Your weapons of the flesh can do nothing for what is arrayed against us. Only God can rescue the church in this hour. Only God, by divine intervention, will this thing be turned. Only by divine intervention will America even have a last-minute reprieve to give us a few years to bring in the harvest. Many that are watching me even right now, you have unsaved loved ones. That's why we ask God for another moment. Lord, give us one more moment so we can bring in this harvest. We're not asking so we can live some kind of American dream and go back to the days of Ozzie and Harriet and Green Acres and whatever. Please, those days are gone forever, ladies and gentlemen. This is about souls. This is about the harvest. This is about the kingdom of God that endures forever. Two kingdoms running parallel side by side. The one is shaking. And all the experts have no answer. They don't know what is going on. They're like a goose lost in a thunderstorm. As long as our president bows his knee and cries out to God, God will intervene on America. If he does not, it is over. Mr. President, The only hope for America is divine intervention. That's it. That's it. Otherwise, all you're going to do is you're going to put a patch on a tube that's burst and it's perished, and you're going to keep patching and patching until you can't patch it anymore. The only hope, not the CDC, not the World Health Organization, not the doctors. Thank God for all the doctors and the nurses that put himself in harm's way today. But let me tell you that we don't worship doctors and nurses. We worship the King. This is important. Today is a day of surrender. So what I'm going to do, I'm going to take you into an altar call right now. And as people are responding in the building, this is from the archives, as they're responding in the building, I want you to respond to there. As I pray with them, I want you to pray with me. And then I'm going to be right back, right after the altar call. But this is a challenge for every person watching online today, wherever you might be, River members and beyond, on all the platforms and around the world, even on the rerun. This is for you. I want you to bow your heads right now and get ready. Let's go to the altar call.
Just close your eyes, if you would, across this room here today. Those in your homes. While heads are bowed and eyes are closed, I want to give an invitation right now. If you fit into any one of these three categories, because this is where everything starts. It starts by surrender. It starts by a surrender of your heart to say, Lord, come, take me. I come as I am. Somebody said, let me go out and fix myself up. No, you come just as you are. And surrender to him. And he will come. While heads are bowed and eyes are closed, if you fit into any one of these categories, I want to pray with you and for you. Maybe you walked in here today and you've never given your life to Jesus. You've never said, Jesus, come and be my Lord and Savior. You personally have never said that. But today you want to accept him. Today you want to invite him in. He will come. He will come. Just tell him, come. He loves you. He stands with arms wide open. He says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, I'm going to give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Learn of me, my yoke is easy, my burden is light. Come. He calls you. What would happen if today you went home, put your head on your pillow, in the middle of the night, your heart stopped and you stopped breathing? Where would you go? Where would you spend eternity? Come on. Life is very short. Today, will you surrender your life to him and say, Jesus, come? Secondly, maybe you've come to this place and once upon a time you gave your life to the Lord, but you've grown cold. You're not serving God like you should. You've allowed the things of the world to come in. You've lost your first love. You've lost that peace, that joy that you once had. There was a time when you were radically on fire for God, but something happened. You lost it. But today he says, come. He says, come. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I'm going to give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Learn of me. My yoke is easy. My burden is light. He says, come. Will you surrender? Maybe it's something hidden that no one can see. Pride, unforgiveness, bitterness, jealousy, anger, lust, hidden things that clog the heart of man. Come on. He'll take it out. He'll get rid of it today. Maybe it's something outward that everyone can see and you feel like, well, what does it help anyway? Everybody knows how bad I am. They can see it. It's plain for everybody. But God is a God of a second chance and a new beginning. Will you surrender to him today and say, Lord, come? Maybe you're here today and you were just going along. You were serving God and then a storm came against your life like a hurricane from hell. A sudden divorce, a bankruptcy, the loss of a loved one, a sudden illness, the betrayal of a close friend, the loss of a job. Something happened that rocked your world, but today you say, I'm going to come back. I want to fall in love with Jesus all over again. I want to surrender my life afresh to him today. And then lastly, if you're in this place, you love the Lord, that's not even a question. but you're not sure. You don't have the assurance that you're a child of God. If I looked at you and said, do you know beyond a shadow of a doubt, if you died right now, you're going to go be with Jesus, you'd say, I don't. But I want to have that assurance. We will pray for you today. If you fit into any one of these three categories, I want to pray with you and for you right where you are, while heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Quickly, put your hand up. Say, pray for me. Pray for me right now. God bless you. 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 God bless you over here. God bless you over there. God bless you over there. Raise up high. Another hand over there. Another hand back there. Another hand over here. Another hand back under the overhang. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Slip it up high. Say yes. Yes. Another hand there. Another hand. Another hand. Another hand. Another hand. Come on. Today is your day of freedom. Today is your day of liberty. Once you've raised it, you've put it down, I want you to look at me right now. Please look at me. In this section here, if you did not raise your hand, but you want to be included in the prayer, I'm going to pray right now. Quickly, slip up your hand, say, include me. God bless you. Anybody else? Bless you. Anybody else? Quickly, slip it up high. Slip it up high. God bless you. Anybody else? Yes. Yes, 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 yes. Anybody else? Raise up high. Yes. Anybody else? Yes. God bless you. Yes, right at the back there. Anybody else? Put up higher right now and say yes. Yes, Lord. God bless you. I want every person that raised your hand right across the building to stand right now, please. Stand all across the building. Stand. Everyone that raised your hand, stand. Don't wait on anybody else. Go ahead and stand. I want you to bring your personal belongings and come from where you are and come stand around the altar. We're going to pray together. Come. Come. Today, today is your day of freedom. Today is your day of liberty. He calls you, come. He calls you, come. No turning back. No turning back. The cross before me. The world behind me. The cross before me. Behind me, the cross before me, the world behind me, no turning back, no turning back. You can take the whole world, but give me Jesus. You can take the whole world, but give me Jesus. You can take the whole world. Now we're going to pray a prayer together, one prayer fits all. Whether you came for the first time, or you're coming to recommit your life, or you're coming to make sure. And those watching by way of television, as I pray with them here, you pray with me in your homes. If you mean busy with God, God means busy with you. I want you to close your eyes and raise your right hand to heaven. That's where your help comes from. And pray this together with me right now. Say, Father, I come to you. In the precious name of your Son Jesus. Lord, you said in your word, if I confess with my mouth, Jesus is my Lord and my Savior, And I believe in my heart that God has raised you from the dead. I will be saved. So Father, right now, I confess Jesus is my Lord and my Savior. Come into my heart right now. Take out the stony heart. Put in a heart of flesh. Wash me. Cleanse me. Change me. Fill me. Use me. Let me never be the same again. I turn my back on the world. I turn my back on sin. And I follow you, Lord Jesus. Thank you for dying for me. Thank you for shedding your blood for me. Thank you that on the third day you rose for me. And thank you that you're coming back again for me. From this day on, I'll never be the same again. I confess Jesus Christ has come in the flesh. He is my Lord and my Savior. And right now, by faith in the finished work of the cross and by the shed blood of Jesus, I am saved. Thank you, Lord, for saving me right now. Now lift both hands to heaven. Let me pray over you. Father, I pray that you would seal them now by your blood and by your spirit, that on that day not one will be missing. Let not one of these precious ones be missing. Raise them up to be mighty men and women of God and use them to impact this generation. Let the fire of God come on every single one of them. I break every curse. I break every addiction. I break every bondage off of them. And we set them free from this day. In the name of Jesus, en el nombre de Jesús. And we thank you for it now. And everyone said, amen. Amen, amen, amen. Amen, amen, amen.
This program has been brought to you by the friends and partners of Revival Ministries International in Tampa, Florida. For more information on the ministry of Drs. Rodney and Adonica Howard Brown, or for additional resources, visit revival.com.